Could we open our meeting this evening by singing number 24 on the hymn sheet that was on your seat? Hymn number 24. We know there's a bright and a glorious home away in the heavens high, where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell. But will you be there? And I. Would someone start it for us, please?
We know there's a bright and a glorious home away in the heavens high, where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell. But will you be there and I? Where will you be there and I? Will you be there and I? Where all the redeemed shall meet Jesus dwell. But will you be there and I? In robes of white on the streets
a question in this hymn. It's very important. It says, will you be there? I'm going to be there. Will you be there? And if you're not there, where are you going to be? We'll have questions to set before you tonight, but before we do, we'd like to ask God's blessing. Let's pray. I'd like to speak this evening on the subject of promotions. You know, this is the societies that we live in. Generally speaking, promotions are happy things. Somebody gets promoted, comes up into a better position, oftentimes better conditions, better revenue. If you're in a company, you get a nicer office, perhaps more holidays. Well, tonight I want to talk about promotions from the Word of God. There's people in this book that have lived promotions, wonderful promotions. And I'd like for us to look at them together and to consider, because God has a proposition for you tonight. Each one in this room here, He wants to promote you. And I pray that you will let Him. The first person I'd like to look at is in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 41, we're not going to read many verses. I'm just going to refer to the story, perhaps. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 41. Verse 38. Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God had showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Here's a promotion. Thou shalt be over my house, according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck and made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Well, here's a man who got promoted. You know, sometimes, if I don't know if you're working in Walmart or another store like that, and you get promoted, well, you just get maybe a little badge that says manager, and you get the key to the cash register, maybe, and you get to come when there's a customer complaint. It's a promotion, but I mean, you know. This man, Joseph, he got a real promotion. That morning he woke up, he was a prisoner in Egypt. He was in prison. And the night, that same day, that night he went to bed, he was the ruler of Egypt next to Pharaoh. When he went by, people had to bow the knee. That's a promotion. How did he get this promotion? Well, those of us who know the story of Joseph and Joseph's God gave him that promotion. You see, Joseph was a God-fearing man. And because he feared God and he didn't want to disobey his God, he refused to sin. There was a woman about him who wanted him to fall into sin, and he refused. And she falsely accused him, and people believed her. We don't hear him pleading his case at all. He was sent to prison, falsely accused in prison. And if anyone in this story could have self-pity, it could have been Joseph, couldn't it? But Joseph had the fear of God. And God saw Joseph in prison. And you know, he tried his best to get out of there. He met a couple of people from Pharaoh's court there, and he interpreted their dreams for them. And he thought, when they got out, he said, you remember me? Think about me. He was thinking maybe he could get out of prison with his own efforts. But it didn't happen. But in God's own time, he got promoted. Wonderful promotion. Well, there's one greater than Joseph, you know, who got promoted too. Sometimes in the world, people do all sorts of things to get promoted. They do sometimes bad things to make themselves look better than others, so the boss will look at them as a candidate rather than the other. That's not what Joseph did. And God saw to it that Joseph got promoted. And when he got promoted, he passed everybody else by. He was better than the chief of the guards. He was better than the priests of On. He was better than everybody else. He was higher, saved than Pharaoh. Nobody could lift up his hand or say anything but what Joseph said. Well, the one who had a greater promotion than Joseph, well, his name is the Lord Jesus, you know. As a man, was born in a manger, and after a perfect life of devotion to his Father and kindness to men, feeding crowds, healing the sick, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the mute, raising some from the dead, he was despised, rejected, spit upon, crucified, mocked, derided. He was accounted with the transgressors. He was crucified with two other men condemned to death as a criminal. And he went into death. But God promoted him now in resurrection. And he's ascended now in heaven, the highest place in heaven. That's where the Lord Jesus is now. He's been there for 2,000 years. We had these verses before us in Hebrews 12 in our reading today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a man with flesh and bones, a risen man in the presence of God, on the right hand of God, one who has, according to Philippians chapter 2, the name above every name. Let's read these verses in Philippians chapter 2. Beautiful verses for those of us who know the Lord Jesus. And if you don't know him, you're going to have to bow to this verse one day. And I hope you do before the day you have to. Philippians chapter 2 speaks of him going down. Verse 5, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now comes the promotion. Wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The greatest promotion ever. One who went to the depths of the cross, raised up higher than the heavens now, with the name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus. When you look at the candidates for a promotion, If you're in a company, your business, you're going to look for competency, ability, faithfulness, someone you can have confidence in. And you can see in Joseph's case, there was character with Joseph. You could see God's heart inclined towards this man, Joseph. And surely we can understand, if we know anything about the Lord Jesus, how God the Father was pleased to answer to his humiliation by glorifying him in such a way as a man. But tonight, the promotion we have before you is a bit different. There's a man in the scripture here, he got promoted too. He didn't have the character of Joseph, and certainly nothing of the character of the Lord Jesus. Yet he got promoted. And God would offer you this promotion this very night as we speak. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke's Gospel chapter 23. We read in the other Gospels, these two men who were crucified with the Lord Jesus, they insulted him. But there's a man who had a change of heart. Maybe because what he heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this man changed his tune, you might say. He stopped insulting, deriding, mocking. And he said something different. And it's recorded for us here in Luke chapter 23, verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom.'" You know, it tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And as you sit in this room tonight, young person, little boy, girl, older one, do you have the fear of God? It's a good thing to have the fear of God. You know, some people say, "There is no God." Well, the scripture says, "The fool saith in his heart, there is no God." But when he says it out loud, we can all know he's a fool. The fool say it in his heart, "There is no God." There is a God. He's the creator of this universe. And anybody here who can perceive the universe, you can see the sun, the moon, the stars, the flowers, the animal, and your neighbor. You're responsible before God to know there's a creator. You might not know much about him. You know, men get so proud. They think because they discovered the DNA that they invented it. They didn't invent the DNA. They're discovering it. God is the inventor of DNA. He put that code together. How can it be that intelligent beings observing such design could conclude that it just happened? It's because they're blind. Spiritually, morally blind, because it's obvious. We can't even make a grain of sand out of nothing. But because we have a mind that understands, and because our nature is fallen, what we are made to understand, we become proud, and we think we made those things that we discovered. We didn't make that. God made it, and he gave us intelligence to perceive it and to enjoy it and to give him glory, which we're not doing. And you know, the surprising thing is that in Christendom, in Christian countries, this is where this kind of thought process is happening. Because if you go in remote countries, people believe there's a God. They might not know who He is, but they believe there's a God. They believe there's a Creator. So tonight, my friend, if you don't believe there's a God, you can change your tune. Perhaps you can consider, as you observe the universe, that it didn't just happen. It was made that way. And it's held together. Right now as we speak, it's held together by the same God who made it. By Him all things subsist. That's why the world keeps on. That's why the earth keeps turning. And the moon goes around the earth. And the sun goes, the earth goes around the sun. And the planets, and they move. Because God is making them subsist. And He's allowing you to subsist too, you know. We are fragile creatures. Perhaps we know a lot. But I could put your life in a little plastic bag right here and show it to you. It's about this big. That's your life. I could put in a bag. I do that sometimes in the gospel. I just blow in a bag. And I blow it up. And what have you got in there? One breath. Just one breath. And if this one breath is your last breath, and I'm not giving it to you, that's it. It's going to take 5 minutes at the most. You might get pink, then blue, and then that's it. Just this little bag with a little bit of air. That's how fragile we are. The fear of God. You realize how fragile you are. And God has preserved us so far. He's letting us subsist. He's letting this world subsist. We're in 2008. And there's blasphemy and corruption and violence and war all around us. And He's letting it subsist. And He has a purpose in letting it subsist. Because He wants to promote people. He wants to promote people. He wants to promote you. This man in Luke chapter 23, he didn't deserve to be promoted. He might have been a murderer. He had capital punishment. Look at his promotion. Verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That man got promoted to paradise. Not because of his works, he was a fine looking man or whatever. He got promoted to... What did he do to deserve that promotion? I believe he used one word. He used one word and God recognized the faith in this man's heart when he used that word. And that word, he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He recognized that Jesus was the Lord. Every mouth is going to say that. Every knee is going to bow, recognizing that Jesus is the Lord. Wasn't His Lord yet, but He was the Lord. And this man got promoted to be with the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to see this man in heaven. We're going to talk about his promotion. And mine too, maybe yours. And we're going to talk about the promoter and how he could promote someone like this thief and a wretch like me and someone like you to such a place of blessing. And God is promoting people through the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Because when He was on the cross, the Lord Jesus, the perfect Son of God, a man who never sinned, never had a wrong thought, never said a wrong word, never did anything wrong, was without sin, absolutely. Well, He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. And He bore the sins of this thief, this malefactor, in His own body on the tree. And I know He bore the sins of many in this room. Isaiah 53 says, the last verse, He bore the sins of many. It doesn't say He bore the sins of all. Oh, He would love to have borne the sins of all, but he only bore the sins of those that will put their trust in him. So tonight we have questions for you. Important questions. Boy, girl, older one, will you be there? You're going to get promoted to that place in the glory with the Lord Jesus? This man got promoted. He called Jesus Lord. You want to call Jesus Lord tonight? You recognize he's Lord. He's the worthy one. He's going to be the ruler of the universe and the earth, you know. You want to call upon him tonight? You haven't done it already? You ask him right now. He says, Lord Jesus, save me. If you do, he'll promote you. Now, some people think they've been promoted. This is the difficulty with men, because sometimes we think we're better than others. And we figure if we're doing things to please God, and that God will look and say, you're pretty good, Mike. Better than this other guy who got crucified because he was a thief. We think like that. And sometimes we think we deserve a promotion. That's why we get so upset sometimes when somebody else gets promoted, because we thought we should have got that promotion. There's jealousy in our hearts. And sometimes in our minds we get religious thoughts that if I do the right things, God's going to promote me. God cannot promote anybody for doing the right things. He can only promote people who've done the wrong things and have Jesus as their Savior. And that's the perfect example here. One man, the only thing you could say that he did right, as he said, Lord. That's all I can see. He said, Lord. There was repentance in his heart before, but that's when he opened his mouth to the Lord Jesus and he said, Lord. And the Lord answered that. And he said, you're going to be with me in paradise today. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, we referred to this, I think it was Brother Jim who mentioned that. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. You say they get twice saved. No, no. The reason they repeat the name is because they don't believe that he is Lord. They're just using his name. Lord, Lord. Look at their arguments. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I get saved because I preach the gospel. No. Nobody gets promoted for preaching the gospel. You only get promoted for having the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? I mean, if you were the boss of a company and you see these guys performing like that, say, I should promote these guys. Well, they didn't get promoted. They got demoted. Oh, what a word. They got demoted. Verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You thought I knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They're expecting a promotion. They got a demotion. They had the wrong argument. You see, have we not done all these things? Nobody gets promoted with God from doing things like that. You get promoted because of what the Lord Jesus has done. All this man says, remember me. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How could God take a man with sin like this man who was crucified for his crimes and bring him into the heavens of purity and absolute holiness because of the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all sin. And that's what made this man fit for such a promotion. And that's what made me fit for that promotion, and many in this room. I say tonight, are you fit for that promotion? Or do we talk about demotion? There is no status quo. That God is going to close a department. If I could use business language, you're either going to go up to the next floor, get a promotion, or you're going to get demoted. And really, it means you're going to get fired. And you take the D off, you're going to get fired. And God doesn't want anybody to get the fire. He wants to promote everybody. He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to promote everybody. He wants to promote you. We're November 29th, I believe, 2008. You can be promoted tonight in your soul. And then there's the next promotion is when your body is changed and you go right up to heaven with the Lord Jesus. Have you been promoted already? Are you a child of God? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You haven't yet? Don't put it off. It can be yours tonight. You say, well, I'll get promoted tomorrow. Well, God's promoting right now. Tomorrow, I don't know if He's going to be promoting. He might be closing the business tomorrow. No more promotions. Going to go on to something else. Setting things right in this world. And preparing this earth for the reign of that man who's going to be recognized as Lord, the Lord Jesus Himself. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I just want to refer to part of verse 18 there, a little expression in there. It refers to the Jews there in the time of the Lord Jesus who had heard the gospel, the news of saving faith as you believe on the Lord Jesus, your Savior. And He speaks of them. Verse 18, and of Himself also, we might say, we might have a strong consolation, but we who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What are you hoping for in this world? And what are you hoping for if time just goes on when you die? Because death, you know, it's not a nice subject. It's a sorrowful subject. But this is real. There's a reality of death. All these men we read about in Hebrews 11, they're all gone. And if the Lord leaves us here another 100 years, which He surely won't, we're all going to be gone. The question is where? Do you have a hope as to where you're going? Well, a lot of people say, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I hope I'm going to be saved. Well, these ones here, they heard God's proposition of promotion and they lay hold of it. It says here, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. They had a hope, and if you read on, you see it's connected with the Lord Jesus up in the glory. this hope they had as an anchor for their soul, and their anchor was anchored in the person of the Lord Jesus in heaven. Usually you have anchors, you usually go down and get the bottom. But God's anchor for your soul and mine is up there in the heavens. It's a lot surer place than the rocks in the bottom of the sea, let me tell you. But they laid hold of the hope that was set before them. And tonight, I'd like to set this hope before you, very plainly. But I can't lay hold of it for you. I can't grab it for you. But if it's set before you and God offers it to you, you've got to take it and make it your own. I use an example, very simple example. Little boy goes to school, and some of you boys and girls, you go to school, and maybe you go to school and hear all these bicycles, you know. Some kids ride to school in bicycles, 10 speeders, 15 speeders, 18 speeders. And the little boy goes to school, and all he's got is this beat-up bike and wiggly wheels, and makes a little bit of noise when you pedal, squeak, squeak, squeak. Maybe everybody makes fun of him. And he sees all these beautiful bikes, and he kind of gets discouraged, you know, and he feels sorry for himself a bit, and he doesn't smile that much, and all his friends, yeah, look at your bike. Yeah. So he goes home, and he's sad, you know, and his father starts talking to him, and he tries to find out what's wrong, and he says, oh, all the boys in school, they all have nice bikes, and you know how kids are. They worked on your dad like that. Anyway. And so the father sees that, you know, it really is an old beat-up bike, and I should really get him another one. So he says to his little boy, he says, listen, Daddy's going to have his paycheck on Friday, and you and I Saturday, we're going to go. And you remember that bike we saw the other time there? We're going to go and get it, and then you'll have it for next week. So the little boy's countenance changed. It's changing. He's got a smile on his face. And he goes to school the next morning. Squeak, 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 squeak. And his friends are there. And he looks at the bike and says, I'm getting one like that. What do you mean you're getting one like that? You just got a whole squeaky bike there. No, I'm getting a new one. Yeah. You sure? Yeah. My dad, Saturday morning, we're going to get that bicycle. Well, you know, here's something in this little boy's life called hope. If you say to this little boy, show me your bike. Where's his bike? He doesn't have his bike. He can't show you his bike. You know where his bike is? It's there in the store. But that's not the only place it is. It's in his father's heart. That's where that bike is, in his father's heart. You know, earthly fathers, we fail. The man going to work that Friday morning, he might break a leg and never be able to go and buy that bicycle. We trust in men. We might be disappointed. But our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus, when he promises something, when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So this little boy, he's happy, he's rejoicing, he's whistling on his way to school, and he even likes his old bike because he's going to get rid of it. What's he living on? He's living on hope. Says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He's believed his father, and now he's rejoicing in something he can't show anybody. Nobody's ever seen that bike, but that's his bike. I want to tell you tonight, there's many people in this room tonight, they're rejoicing in someone they've never seen. Not a bicycle. A person whose name is Jesus Christ, the object of our hope. And he's going to be coming for us any moment. That's the hope we have from the Scriptures, in having a Savior who loves us and died for us on the cross. Is he your Savior tonight? Have you laid hold of that hope from the Word of God? Is God going to be able to give you that promotion on the basis of the work of the Lord Jesus? Or are you going to neglect that to the point where all that's going to be left for you is a demotion. Away from me. I never knew you. You know, somebody here in St. Louis, maybe across the street, going by on the highway, wasn't in this room this evening or last night or tomorrow night, perhaps if the Lord leaves us here, to hear, to have this proposition from God of eternal hope, happiness, love with the Lord Jesus. Well, He's not as responsible as you and I are. He didn't hear it. It wasn't presented to Him. It wasn't set before Him. He didn't have the opportunity of saying, I'm taking that for myself. I'm accepting the Lord Jesus, my personal Savior. It's not enough to come to meeting, to read your Bible, and to pray. These are good things. It's not enough to say, I'm a Christian. What each of us need to do, if we haven't done it yet, is to receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior in our heart and say, I accept you, Lord. I take you as my Savior. That man on the cross, beside the Lord Jesus, he never heard the gospel. But God could see, in the ignorance of his faith, that he had faith in the Lord Jesus. And God cannot count you to be ignorant like this man. You know more. Even boys and girls here, you know more about God and the Lord Jesus and sin and salvation than this grown man who went to be in heaven. And I say tonight, are you going to heaven? Are you going to be promoted? If you accept the Lord tonight, you're going to be promoted right away. You're going to be promoted to be a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. Gospel of John chapter 1. Verse 12. Look at verse 11. 10. I mean, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. No. No, we don't know. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. No, no. We're not going to receive him. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What about you tonight? Are you going to say no? No. Say yes. 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 I say yes to the Lord Jesus. I say yes, his sacrifice has been accepted by God, and I need him as a Savior because I'm a sinner. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in this room, we're qualified to be promoted. We're sinners. God only promotes sinners. And he takes sinners and he makes them his own children because they trust in the Lord Jesus. You trust in him yet? Never have done it yet? Why not tonight? Will you be there and I? I'm going to be there. This brother's going to be there. A lot of us are going to be there. I'm not going to point you with my finger, but I'm asking you, are you going to be there? I'm waiting for a further promotion. I've been promoted to be a child of God now through faith in the Lord Jesus, as many of us here tonight. I'm waiting for another promotion, and it's as sure as the first. That's when the Lord Jesus comes. He's going to change my body. And he's going to give me a glorious body like unto his glorious body. And I'm going to go into the Father's house. In the house of God himself in the heavens. Where the Lord Jesus is. I'm going to be there. And many of us are going to be there. Momentarily, this promotion is coming. But if you're going to live out this wonderful last promotion, you have to have the first of becoming a child of God. Of being saved. Of accepting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. If you've never done it, why don't you do it right now? Why don't you just close your eyes? Maybe leave your eyes open. Nobody will know you're doing it. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. He will. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. I don't want to be demoted. I don't want to be cast away in the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, we read off time. Let's read that. Revelation chapter 20. There's a book of life there. Revelation chapter 20. This is in the future day when the Lord Jesus sits on his throne as a judge. It's going to be a sad day, I think, for a lot of people. We don't want you to be there. God does not want you to be there. But if you are there, you will remember St. Louis Conference. You will remember when God put this hope before you. You will remember the message last night concerning the Lord Jesus. And you will remember that you said no. Because when you say yes, God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. This little word on the cross by this man, Lord, God wrote his name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tonight, God is writing names. Anyone here tonight who calls upon the name of the Lord, who accepts him as his Savior, trust him. God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, the books that were open, you would read in those books. Oh, I don't know what their names were, but those ones in Matthew 7, the Lord was referring to. Oh, they cast devils out in my name, and they did wonderful works in my name. It's recorded. It's recorded in the Word of God. It's recorded in those books of men's works. But it says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the final demotion. Body, soul, and spirit in everlasting judgment, fire, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. This is no joke. This is serious. If you think in your mind it's not true, that's a lie from the devil himself. Because that's where he's going. And he'll take you with him if he can. I ask you tonight this question. Is your name in the book of life? Can you say, yes, my name is in the book of life? You're not sure? Talk to someone tonight. Don't let the evening go by until you're sure your name is in this book. And if you say no, I pray to God that he'll speak to you again. I can't guarantee it, though. We don't know how much time is left. The hour of the Lord's coming is so very near. Momentarily, this might be the last conference, the last gospel meeting. This might be the last day that the Lord long suffers over this guilty world that blasphemes his name every day. And you know where his name is blasphemed the most? Where? You think it's in India, in Muslim countries? His name is blasphemed the most in those countries that were Christian countries. And you know, God puts up with it. Because there's a day coming when every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's long-suffering tonight. He's waiting for you. He wants to write your name if he hasn't already. Now, I just have a few words for all of us too. You know, we speak of the Lord's coming, and we know it's the last hour, and we have been warned, those of us who know the Lord. We have to say we've been warned. We know this is an event that's probably going to happen in our generation. And it might very well happen today, tonight, tomorrow. I don't know. Does it grab our souls? I want someone to do some math for me. 30 times 300. Put your hand up, please. I don't have my calculator. 30 times 300. Who knows what 30 times 300 is? This is the United States, eh? Not Canada. Okay. Pardon me? Thank you. You get two chances. 9,000. 9,000. That's a big number. Think of 9,000 souls. Do you think we could reach 9,000 souls? Those of us who know the Lord Jesus, that we could reach 9,000 souls? Well, before this meeting, there was 30 of us or so, approximately, praying upstairs for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And you know, if every one of us, all 30 of us who prayed for in the gospel for the salvation of souls, if we just gave out a tract every day, skip Sunday, take the day off, 300 days a year, 30 people, that is 9,000 people have received the gospel. Now imagine, I'm going to exaggerate a bit. Let's say there's 300 of us. One brother said there was 270. Maybe that's just a guess. 300 of us. Any volunteer? 300 times 300. There you go. 90,000. Hey, that's a lot of people, eh? 90,000 people receiving the gospel. Where's John Kemp? I know you do that by yourself, John, but still. Is it possible, dear ones, those of us who know the Lord, assuming we all know the Lord, that we could, in our little measure, you know, get a tract, gospel calendar or something, and just say, well, I can't reach 90,000 people. John can, but and most we can't. But we could be sitting in this room next year if the Lord has tarried. And we could have reached 90,000 people or more just by a little word here, a little tract there, a little testimony here and there. I leave that with you because I believe the Lord Jesus is interested in souls. Very much. Oh, he delights to see us around himself. Thinking on that time when he was alone on the cross, as we remember him. But he went there and he suffered that to glorify his God and Father. And for this man hanging on the cross right beside him, that murderer perhaps, that thief, for your neighbor, for the guys and the girls you go to school with, for the people you work with, that's who he died for, you know. And if you don't tell them, who's gonna?